Amen, and I trust that we can count you as well, that you'll be walking with the Lord. All right, looking forward to what God has for us today. If you would go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke. We have Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke is going to give us some important things, but can I say God is going to give us some important things today through Luke and his perspective. The Gospels are four different accounts of the same stories. We've got Matthew's perspective, we've got Mark's perspective, we've got Luke's perspective, and then we've got John's perspective. Today we're going to look at Luke. He's going to share something simple today, a simple message that I want you to see and recognize that I trust will be a blessing, a message that I'm burdened about, not with our world. I'm burdened right here. You can preach a lot of messages about the world and how the world is going this way and the world's going that way. And I say to that, what benefit is that really? Because the world's not going to be any different unless God's people do right. And that's the way it is. In fact, as a Christian, you can expect the world to act the way they do. And I mentioned this on Wednesday night. Without Jesus making a difference in hearts and lives of people, the world is going to act the way they do, folks. You know, we can shake our heads and our fingers all we want to at all the garbage that's going on in the world. And it's not pleasant and it's not good. But I'll tell you, without Jesus, they don't know any better and they're not going to do anything. Now, I'll say this. If those people, if Jesus comes and returns or they die, they'll go to hell if they've never trusted Jesus Christ, not necessarily because they didn't hear, but because they rejected Jesus. That's why people go to hell. And so I'm not trying to make these people look innocent out there. They will be held accountable for their actions and their sin. Yes, it is a wicked world out there, but honestly, without Jesus, they do not have the ability to do right. But we do. And it's important for us that we understand who we are in Jesus Christ and what God has given to us. You know, the world is disillusioned. Would you agree? Now, I just told you we're not going to preach on the world, but I want to start with just this thought. The world is disillusioned. There are people today that are being deceived, and sometimes I just shake my head at the lack of truth that's out there that people are not taking. It blows my mind at the way we, it seems like in America, in our world, have the ability to take truth that's very clear, that's very plain, and somehow flip it around, and we have this ability to call evil good and good evil. You would agree with me that our world is disillusioned. People that are buying in. And folks, when I say innocent people, none of us are innocent. But I think you know what I mean when I say innocent people that they don't really know any better. They don't know any better, and why not to listen to all the stuff that's coming across the news? They don't know any better not to listen to the political leaders that are out there. They don't know any better. And they are being disillusioned into a way of life that for many of us, we're looking at and saying, how could you go this direction? What's going on? Where is America heading? They're disillusioned. This morning I want to share with you a group of people, two people, that I would say are disillusioned a little bit, but they could know better. And I believe with all my heart they did come to know better. But it's going to blow your mind a little bit. You say, what? Where are we going in Luke 2? Luke 2 is where we typically go at Christmas time to read the Christmas story. May I submit to you that there were two disillusioned people for a moment with truth. The truth. Look at Luke chapter 2, and I want to read two verses for you. 49 and 50. Now, you remember that Jesus had been with his parents and family and celebrating and all kinds of things going on there in Jerusalem. It's time to go home, and Jesus is lost. Remember that? He's lost. Well, he's not lost. But as far as his parents' perspective, Jesus is lost. Where is he? We can't find him. You know, they take off on the caravan back, and they don't know where Jesus is at, and they start, you know, probably frantically panicking, looking around, where's Jesus? And they go back into Jerusalem, and they find Jesus sitting and talking and talking about spiritual things with other spiritual leaders. This is where Jesus was. Mary and Joseph come into the scene, and they speak to Jesus, and it's here we find ourselves in Luke chapter 2 and verses 49 and 50. 48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, so here you hear Mary, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You can kind of feel, if you've ever had children and they've disappeared for a little while, you can feel for Mary and Joseph right now. You ever had a child disappear for a little bit of time? And you panic really quick and you say, where is so-and-so? And everybody drops everything and they run outside and they start shouting and hollering, you know, where are you? Where are you? And I can't find him. And usually we find him there in a spot that's like, oh, he's there. She's there. You know, like, we didn't have anything to panic about. They were just there, you know, in their spot. Maybe there have been times that you found them and they were in trouble, but most of the time it's like, oh, he's there. I think that any of us could understand and sympathize with Mary and Joseph, their thoughts. It was their son. Where's Jesus? We can't find Jesus. And then they go, and it's like, what's he doing here? Jesus, don't you understand what you just did to your parents? Don't you understand what you just did to your mother's heart? I was scared. I was worried. You weren't around. You know, I don't know if Joseph said anything. The passage doesn't say that he did. But there's Mary and Joseph saying, Jesus, what are you doing? What was Jesus' response? He says in verse 49, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? You know, there's a little bit of questioning in Jesus' answer right there. Don't you know? What aren't you getting? He says, how is it that ye sought me? Why were you looking for me? You should know better. Notice, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you understand that I ought to be about my Father's business? Now notice their response. 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. When Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business, they didn't understand what he was talking about. Say that again, Jesus. It must have been very interesting for Mary and Joseph. To them, Joseph was dad. Now, again, I think Mary and Joseph understood that he wasn't the biological father there. But he's dad, right? Mary, mother, Joseph, father, in a simple sense, mom and dad. You know, for Jesus to say, I must be about my Father's business. You know, that would have been a little bit peculiar to them because to them, Joseph was dad and his business was a carpenter. Jesus helping out with his dad in the shop. And Jesus comes and says to them, you know, don't you understand that I ought to be about my Father's business? Well, Jesus... if you were about your Father's business, then you would have been with us. And if you would have been about your Father's business, you would be doing the work with us. Now, on the trip, I don't suspect that Joseph brought his wood tools and his wood, and they were, I don't know what they were doing, but probably not. But you can see why this was a peculiar statement for Mary and Joseph. Don't you understand that I ought to be about my father's business? And honestly, these folks were disillusioned with the truth. The only thing that we see in verse 50 is Mary and Joseph going like this. I don't know. I don't get it. It says there, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. It was a confusing statement that Jesus made. You know, I am afraid that our church, and when I say our church, I'm not just talking about Faith Bible Church, but I would include you folks here at Faith Bible Church. Folks, please listen to this because this is important. My heart is right in this message here. I am concerned about our churches and our people that are confused with things about our Father's business. We could ask, why was Jesus put on this earth? And you know that it wasn't to be under Joseph and to be a carpenter. There were many other things. But for us here, I'm afraid that we're a bit confused as well. You know, to them it was about the physical. It was about the face value, what they could see in front of them. And for us, it's very much the same. You know, we have our families, right? Our family's important to us. Absolutely. You know, we've got our, you know, husbands, we've got our wives, and wives, we've got our husbands, and parents, we've got our children. Children, we've got our parents, and then we've got extended family. We've got our uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas and cousins and nieces and nephews, and I could go on for a long time, but family's important to us. Our family's a part of our lives. Absolutely, they are. You know, when we wake up and there's family, and we go to bed and there's family, and we go about our business and there's family. It was a blessing that last night we had to find a way up for Ezekiel and Shalissa to get up because they're junior counselors this week up at camp. And of course, camp trip is not an easy trip. It's not like you can just press a button and you're there, although sometimes I wish that you could. In fact, when we were there last night, I said, I wish I could just push a button. We'd be right back home, get the kids, you know, in the shower and ready to go for Sunday. But no, we still had a 2-hour and 45-minute drive home. But we went up there for a reason, because Dad was important. Of course, you know what's going on with Melissa's dad and the physical struggles that he's going through. And well, tomorrow is his birthday. Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow is his birthday. And it was important for us to get up there and do something with him, even though it was just for a little bit of time. Why? Because family's important. Family is a part of our lives, and it ought to be a part of our lives. And we can get engaged in family life, and there's nothing wrong with that. We've got our fathers and our mothers. We've got our family. And for some of you, we've got your school. And for many of you, maybe not school, but there's school. Maybe it's not school, it's the job. And let me ask you a question. Is school and job a big part of people's lives? Oh, a huge part of a person's life. I mean, you commit to a work, a job at a certain age, you know, as you're growing up, you know, in your teen years, you start working. And it's a thing that once you get started into the workforce, you really rightly can't get out of it until a certain age. You get started into it, and it's something that you're, I don't like to look at it this way, but you're in bondage to. You've got to go through with it. Unless somehow God blesses in an amazing way and you don't have to do that. But for the most part, we've got to start this job. We start that school. We get going to that job. And question, is that job or that schooling which is preparing you for that job, is that a big part of life? It is. In fact, for many of you, you had a job for, you might be right in the middle of it. You might be just starting it, but you got a job that you go to in the morning. For some of you, you wake up early. And you drive a long way, or you go there and you're there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And then you come home and basically your evening might be revolved around getting ready for the next day. But work is a big deal for us. You think about the commitment that it takes. You start in your high school years and it doesn't end until you're, if I just throw out the number 65, you work on that until a certain time, around that time. Some people go shorter, some people go longer, but that's a lot of years, isn't it? It's a lot of years to dominate your life. Now, if you're thinking here that I'm preaching against, don't let that dominate your life. You're wrong. You have to go to work, okay? You need to go to work. But it's a big part of life. We've got family, big part of life, right? You know, you divide your life up, and family, there's a big chunk of that, and it ought to be a big chunk of your life. But then you divide up your work, and that's a huge chunk of your life, and then you've got some other areas of your life, and it's big. These things are big. And this is what we know our life. You know, I could come up to you and say, sir, ma'am, tell me about your life. And you would say, this is my family, there's my wife, here's my children, here's their ages, this is what they're doing, this is what we do. Tell me about your work. This is who I am. I am a carpenter. I am a plumber. I'm an electrician. I'm a secretary. And you could fill in the blank with all these things. This is who I am. And that is how we define who we are, isn't it? It's a big part of life. And I'm not preaching against that. It's not any much of what we can get out of. We've got our homes, our properties. For some of you, it's an apartment. For some of you, it's a bigger home with acreage. You got to take care of that place, however big or small. But question, is that a big part of life? Well, it is. Projects that dominate our lives. Duties. Even something simple as eating. Some of us, it dominates a little too much. But we have food, and it's a big part of life. And for me, I'm not going to miss a meal 3 times a day. You want to be able to eat. You want to be, you know, this. We're defining our lives. Entertainments, maybe for this crew, not as big as some crew that's out there in our world, but these things are important to us, and it's who we are, and it's what we do. Mary and Joseph were confused because the way they looked at Jesus' family and work was a little bit different. They said, Jesus, what are you doing? Don't you understand that this, if I could put it this way, your life is here. What are you doing? We don't understand what you're saying. Don't we understand that you ought to be about your Father's business? Jesus, we don't understand that. Jesus was very clear on his role and what he ought to do. He knew as a youngster that he ought to be about his Father's business, even at this early age. He knew that. And later in life, we read that he knew about it. In John chapter 4, of course, now at the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus makes statements. He said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He knew that he had a responsibility. He knew he had a task. And that was the most important thing. You know, Jesus was a carpenter for a lot of years, wasn't he? But what was his meat? What was his fitting obligation? What did he come to do? We'll answer that in just a little bit. Later in another chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus answered again, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He recognized his role on this earth. Jesus did. He recognized why he was here. He wasn't born to this earth to make, I don't know what Joseph made, but it wasn't that. Jesus did not come to this earth to make those things, although he was engaged with those things for many years of his life. But that's not why he was here. Another chapter later, John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus, folks, was very clear on why he was here. and what he had to do. And it was called his father's business. He says in chapter 8 of John, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And then in John chapter 9 again, "I must work the works of him that sent me." And who had sent him? The Father. The Father had sent Jesus, and he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So right now is the opportunity to work, because the night's going to come and I'm not going to have the opportunity. Now is the time to do my work. And he was about his Father's business. You see, folks, Jesus was on a mission. And what was the mission? Somebody tell me. It's listed for us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to" what? "Seek and to save that which was lost." There was the mission of Jesus Christ. There was the business of the Father. "I've come to seek and out and to save people. I've come to do my Father's business." That was his priority. That was his Father's business. Do you understand that? The Father's business was come into... Yes, you say, honor and glorify the Lord. Yes, we honor and glorify the Lord. Do you know how best we can honor and glorify the Lord? By, of course, fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. But I'll tell you what, folks, it's all wrapped up in his mission. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We honor and glorify God as we share God's truth with people so that people can see it and so that we can reproduce ourselves in other people, be fruitful and multiply. That's our job as a Christian that we ought to take on. Jesus was not on a mission. Folks, don't lose me, because there's not much more to this. I want you to listen to this. Jesus was not on a mission to be a carpenter. Was he a carpenter? Yes, but it wasn't his mission. He was not on a mission to be a miracle worker. But he was a miracle worker. But that wasn't his mission. He was not on a mission to be a religious leader. Even though he was a religious leader, but that wasn't his mission. He was on a mission to see people saved. Lost people saved. And he was on this mission because he was sent by the Father. Listen to this. So that you could be saved. Question: are you thankful for the mission of Jesus Christ? Are you thankful for that? Praise the Lord. Where would we be without it? Now listen, let's make some connections. Let's connect the dots here. This was the Father's business. The Father's business. A business that we're all, if you're here today and you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we're thankful for it. We're thankful for that mission. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't come just be a carpenter. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't come and just do lots of miracles. I'm thankful that Jesus just wasn't another prophet or another good man. No, Jesus was the Son of Man, which came to seek and to save that which was lost. He went to the cross. He died for our sins so that we could have eternal life. He did the work. And in the end, the work was finished. And he said so, "It is finished." The work for salvation is complete. And you don't have to work. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost." Jesus came for a purpose, to glorify the Father and to save mankind. That was his business. Mary and Joseph were missing something. Jesus. Joseph's your dad. Jesus, you're a carpenter. Jesus, in your free time, we don't mind if you do these spiritual things, but they have their proper time and place. Now, we can look at that and we can be a little bit critical of Mary and Joseph. They were missing something. We look at that and we say, they didn't understand that he had a higher calling. They weren't understanding his mission and his work. The word wist, he says, wist ye not. If I could put it in our English, it's kind of like, don't you see? Wist ye not? Don't you see? Mary, Joseph, don't you see? Here's what I want you to see this morning. This is for me to you. We all have our people. We all have our jobs. We all have our lives. We all have our entertainments, and we've got our food and our clothes. And we, like Mary and Joseph, see things at face value. Here's who I am. Do you remember what Jesus commissioned the disciples, how he did? And from this, we could look at John's perspective. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Catch this. As my Father hath sent me. You got that so far? As my Father has sent me to do and be about his business, to seek and to save that which was lost, bring him honor and glory. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Folks, we're commissioned also. We're also commissioned by the Father and Jesus Christ to fulfill and complete his mission to seek and to save the lost. And this, listen, everybody listen, I'm almost done, okay? You might be getting tired, you might be getting hungry, but don't miss it. Listen to this. This is our principal objective in life. As we live and bring God honor and glory, so it's our occupation. Not as a carpenter. Not as a plumber. Not as an electrician. Not as a teacher. Not as a whatever you are or were. It's not as that. Jesus did not bring us into this earth just to do these physical things. He did not. I know, everybody, I understand that in life we are humans. We see things like this on this plane. That's why we're admonished to seek those things which are above. Because it's so easy to get into the rat race of this world and to be all about, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of these things necessarily. Family. Work. School, entertainments, could be some bad things with that, but in and of itself, no, we're humans. God made us humans to enjoy things of life. But folks, listen to this. Please don't miss this in the end. This is not why we're here. You are not here just to be a good electrician. Now, don't throw it out here if you're an electrician, because it's a necessary thing that we work. And God has everybody doing certain things, but the goal is not to be an electrician. Listen to this. The goal is to use what we have to do for God's business. That concept ought to change our lives. You say, Pastor, I'm a plumber. The goal is not to get you out of plumbing and to be a pastor. You say, Pastor, I'm a carpenter. The goal is not to get you out of carpentry to be an evangelist. Now, if God would ever call you to something else, His way is best and you follow Him. But that's not necessarily what He wants. God didn't make everybody a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary. We're thankful for all these, but I will tell you something that we're missing. Many of us, when I say us, I'm talking sometimes we look in life and we of our own selves put ourselves right down here and we say, I'm just a plumber. God has called me to plumbing and I'm going to be the best plumber that I can, and we miss it. We miss it, just like Mary and Joseph. This doesn't make sense. And Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. This is what He sent me to do. He did not send me, Mom. He didn't send me to be a carpenter. He didn't send me down here to just walk with the family. He sent me on a mission, and I've got to be about that. Now, I'm here as a plumber, but everybody catch this because we're about done. I'm going to be a plumber for God. I'm going to be a plumber that uses what God has given to me for my higher calling for the Father's business. And so, you know what? I'm going to be the best plumber that I can be, but I don't care so much about the leaky faucet. I care more about the leaky faucet's owner. And I'm going to get into that home, and I'm going to make sure that I present the gospel to them. I'm going to do that. Why? Because this is the commission of my Father. This is my Father's business. Folks, I'm concerned that we're so disillusioned by life that we just think that we come down here, we be the plumber that God wants us to be, and we have the family, and we do all the things that we do, and if there's a little bit of extra time, then maybe I can do some of the Father's business. Folks, that's wrong. God is not necessarily calling everybody, 75 people here. I don't know how many are here. God is not calling 75 people here to be pastors. I don't believe it. He could, but I don't, he couldn't, because some of you are ladies, all right? God is not calling every one of you to be evangelists in the sense that we think of. God's not calling everybody to be a missionary in the sense of what most of us think of as a missionary. But folks, I want to tell you something. God is calling every one of us to be pastors, evangelists, and missionaries in a sense of being a proclaimer of God's truth where He has put us. Can you imagine? I want to tell you something, and I'm not taking the blame and the burden off of me. Because I have a responsibility just like everybody else here does to share the truth. But I want to tell you something. It would be impossible for me to reach everybody that you folks rub shoulders with. You know people around you. You're an electrician here. There's going to be people that you work for that I'll never even see face to face ever in my life. God didn't make me to go into that home and to fix that leaky faucet. God didn't make me to go in and to figure out why there's a short in that board. He didn't make me to do that. But you know what He did? He designed every one of you to be at a certain spot. And He gives trades. He gives things that you do. You might work in a factory. You might work in some sort of an office space. You might work out on the road holding a stop sign, and all the different ways that God has given to us. But you know why He's given us those things? He's given us those things to be about our Father's business. If the church could get a hold of the truth, if the church could get a hold of the truth and our business and be all that God would have us to be, I've told this to Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan is here, and he's our pastor of evangelism, and we have evangelism outreach, and we get together, and we go knock on doors, and we pass out this, and we do all this stuff. Listen, everybody listen to this. If everybody did what they did in their, and I hesitate to say occupation, because our real occupation is Christian. But if everybody did that the way they ought to in their occupation, I honestly believe that our church wouldn't even really need to have an organized soul winning program. I'm not saying that's bad. I think it's good for the church to get together and go evangelize, so don't take that too far. But I'm saying this, we wouldn't need it really, because it would be happening all the time. because the plumbers would be out fixing the faucets and they would be helping those people that they're there, and the electricians would be doing what they, and all across the board, people would be reached in libraries, people would be being reached in offices, people would be reached out in the road, people would be reached, you know, at all these places. Can you imagine if we were all about our Father's business? Mary and Joseph were disillusioned. They were like, Jesus, we don't even comprehend what you're talking about. Folks, how many of us have bought into the disillusionment of the world that our life is all about our people, our work, our school, our money, clothes, our food, and this is my life, this is who we are? No. We must be about our Father's business. What's your occupation? Why did God bring you here? So our Father's business, what is it? Seeking, saving that which was lost. Commissioned from the Father to the Son to His disciples, us. What is it not? Earthly occupation. So what do we do about it? We need to use our earthly occupations to do the Father's business. And in Psalm 40 and verse 8 we read, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Would to God that that be our motive in life, no matter what He's called us to do. So God has got you in construction. Then you be that best construction worker that is about the Father's business that you can be. Let's be about our Father's business. As we close, can you imagine, I already mentioned this, what life would be like if Jesus would not have lived, would only have lived His life as a carpenter? There are people that are sitting in the room here today. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Everybody listen. Jesus came to seek you. Why? Psalm 18 tells us because He delights in us. He loves us. And Jesus loved you so much that He was willing to go to the cross and die for you. He was all about His Father's business. He paid the penalty for your sin so that you wouldn't have to. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that Jesus was willing to do that. Here's a question though, are you willing to take it? He did the work. Would you accept it? Would you accept it for yourself today? To not accept Jesus' work is to deny it and say, that wasn't good enough. My friends, He did the work. I trust that you'll accept it. As a Christian, He's arrived to do His Father's business. Praise the Lord, because that's the reason why we can have Him. But would we also show the Lord our love for Him by being all out for Him as well? Father, would you help us to be about our Father's business, to be all about Jesus' business? God, would you help us where we're at, the people that we're around? God, would you help us to take the truth to them? God, would you give us a boldness, a grace, a strength? God, would you help us to open our mouths? Lord, I pray that there's people in the room tonight or this morning thinking through who they are and what they're doing, and their life is revolved around their life. Lord, would you transform those thoughts, change their thinking this morning, that they would go to work tomorrow not as just a plumber, an electrician, or an office worker, but they would go as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, that they would go under their Father's business, and that they would take on the mission to seek to save that which was lost. God, help us to take it seriously. And Lord, may we raise a next generation that understands this, that we can raise the young people to go out there and get whatever giftings and jobs and whatever, however you create them, to go out there and to be that whatever they are. That's all about the Father's business. Oh God, would you help us? Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.